John, lay down the basic buzzing, which you probably already know, which is the groundwork for the whole thing. Basuka, Teshvu, help me out. Yamim, excellent. You know the drasha, Teshvu is Kain, Kuduru, and you know what that means? That means that you make your house Orai, and you make your sukkah, Gava. Now we all know what that means, but probably most of you, and I'm not here to bash Chutzaris, I just want to call spade a spade, have done the opposite. And usually the way it works with Chutzaris is you live in your house, and you go out to the sukkah for meals, maybe most. You go out for friends come over, you listen. Great, you go visit the sukkah many times during the day, God willing, while you're in your house. Your house is your house, and your sukkah is a nice place to visit. The fact is, it's got to be the opposite. What you do is you live in your sukkah, and your house is this very large closet storage area that you go to get more food. You go if you need to bring napkins in, or change the dishes, or you need to use the bathroom, that kind of. So basically, you view the house as a place to take care of some needs on the side, and then you come back to the sukkah, and you spend your 7 days in the sukkah. Obviously, we go visit whatever you go visit, but while you're home, you're really not home. You're at the sukkah, and your house is this auxiliary unit to help you survive happily and healthily in the sukkah. So therefore, what do you do in the sukkah? You eat, drink, sleep. What else? Learn. Rabbi Tana would say, chill, the tayel. Everything should be done in the sukkah. Very good. Now, there's an interesting thing you probably heard of, maybe not. Another pasuk that says, Laman, ye do. Do ro teichem ki besukot. Don't catch me on the Sam Malay. Alright? Ki besukot hoshafti ed b'nei Yisrael shiva yamim. Right? Now this is a very unusual scenario because I think it's only about two or three times that the Torah actually tells you why to do a mitzvah zev. Usually the Torah never, 613 mitzvot, about 610 of them, the Torah doesn't tell you why to do it, just to do it. Do it! You don't ask why, you just say how high. Here's one of those scenarios where the Torah tells you do it, and this is the reason you should do it. Because I want the future generations to know that I caused Bnei Yisrael to dwell in Sukkot, Valotzi Otam Yisrael, when I took them out of Egypt. Therefore, according to the Bach and some other Mefarshim Bibles on the Torah, you'll see this, that you actually need it. The Torah tells you why to do the mitzvah. If you do it and you don't know why you're doing it, as you're doing it, you're going about you'll see the mitzvah. Most Achronim don't hold that way, but the Bach and another does. So it's a good thing that when you sit in a sukkah and you say a Shekhar Shana Leshe Basukkah, you actually have in mind that I'm sitting in the sukkah. Remember that Hashem caused the Jewish people to dwell in sukkahs when they came out, and those sukkahs are, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Anane Kavod. Of course, Rabbi Akiva says that they are sukkot mamash, they're actual booths. The lacha is really like here. That means when you say Leshe Basukkah, have in a moment the fact that Hashem protected our forefathers in the desert, however He did it, when they came out of Egypt, divine providence. Okay? Very good. If you didn't do it, you're still Yotze, but it's Lechatchila, best way to do it. Alright, now that we've said that, I want to move on to a new topic. Now we have the foundation, and that's Kavod for the Sukkah. Kavod for the Sukkah really means two things. We don't want to take into the Sukkah Kelim that are Bzuyim, like disgraceful, inappropriate. And we don't want to use the sukkah for a tashmish, which is inappropriate. Alright? And I'm going to give you examples. So you know that dirty dishes, right, should be removed from the sukkah. So in that way, this isn't 100% true. It's not exactly true that we convert our sukkah into the house. Because we're not so mocked about, you know, dirty dishes in the house, right? So the sukkah is really somewhere between your house and a shul. You wouldn't bring dirty dishes into a shul for a second, right? You wouldn't bring dishes into a shul, a real shul, not like in the back of them with a kitchen. So Shaul, that's Saul, you should make your sukkah into your house, but not break it up, bring it up one notch, one level, Josh. So that means after you finish eating, you really should get the dirty dishes out of there ASAP. You should not bring into the sukkah a big pot that you cook with. A pot like this should never be brought into a sukkah. Put into a nice serving soup tureen or serving platter and bring it in. And always try and think, how can I honor the sukkah by treating it nice? The exceptions, you can leave dirty what in the sukkah?
What kind of kalim can you leave that are dirty in the sukkah?
Plastic cups. Cups in general. Very good. Exactly. Cups you can leave in because you reuse them. They're not considered so disgusting. But dishes you should bring in. What's tashma? What else would be something that you shouldn't leave in the sukkah? You go to sleep in the sukkah and you take your shoes off before you slip in your sleeping bag, whatever you're sleeping in, and your feet stink. So you gotta take your shoes out. You can't leave the stinky shoes in a sukkah. You wouldn't do that in the base of the English. You can't do it here also. You take off your socks, dirty underwear. You take your clothes off, you put on your jammies. So dirty clothes do not go in a sukkah. So it's not 100% like your house, like your room. View it more like how your mother would like your room to be. That's probably how she would like the table to look after dinner and your room to look. Not how it actually does. Like, that's how the sukkah has to be. Nothing mubuzet. You shouldn't have empty Coke cans like the guy who was sitting where Michael sat, who's going to remain late listening to those in my share. I'm going to speak to him. Left that empty, dirty Coke can on the floor instead of putting it in tzedakah where it's supposed to go. If he did that in the shear room, I'd have to speak to him. If he did it in a sukkah, we'd have to actually beat him up. Except the fact that he's bigger than I am, which is most guys in my shear, so I'm not going to actually do it. The other thing is tashmishe bzuim. What that means is don't use the sukkah for things that are inappropriate for a sukkah. What do I mean? We said before that you should do everything in the sukkah. You should eat, you should sleep, you should learn, you should chill, right? So read a book. You're going to read a book, 3 hours, one Holomoid afternoon. So don't do it in your house. Do it in the sukkah, because then you get 3 hours of a mitzvah, right? I mean, it'd be great if you could learn Torah, but you can't learn Torah every second. Some of us cannot. So you're going to read a book, read it in the sukkah. However, if the book that you borrowed from your friend, because none of you guys would own a book like this, has scenes in it that are inappropriate for a human being to read. So, I'm not telling you what to read or not what to read, but that certainly can't be a sukkah. Right? In other words, you read what you read, but you wouldn't read bring a book like that in the Midrash. Right? So certainly not in a sukkah. You're going to hang out with friends? So schmooze with friends. Schmooze with friends in the sukkah. You're going to hang out for 4 hours and schmooze with friends? You're going to watch a movie? So put the laptop in the sukkah. 100%. If the movie has a scene in it that's the title might not agree with, so I'm not telling you what to do, but certainly that can't be in the sukkah. Right? You're going to schmooze? Do it in the sukkah. You're going to speak Lashon Hara? Don't do it in the sukkah. That's like going in Kodesh Kodesh and speaking Lashon Hara. That's like hanging out in God's den with the Shekhinah and speaking Lashon Hara. So the Lashon Hara is wrong. It's a problem. We messed up, but don't do it in the sukkah. You get the idea? So it's like your home, but it's one notch higher. Okay. So that's the issue of cover for the sukkah. Next topic. What did you say, by the way? 11:35, right?
Yeah.
Only about 10 minutes. The other thing I want to talk about is sleeping in the sukkah. So as you probably know from the Gemara Chav Vav, sleeping in the sukkah, according to Rava, and this is the halakha, there's no difference between a nap and not a nap. All sleeping is done in the sukkah. And I know that's for many of us, not what we're used to in Chutz Haaretz, but that's the bottom halacha. That's the bottom line halacha. You sleep in a sukkah. You're going to take a nap for 10 minutes? For 3 minutes? You've got to do in the sukkah. Taking a 3-minute nap is the same thing in the eyes of halacha as sitting down for 5-course shawarma extravaganza, where you wash and the whole thing. Now, where do you have to eat a meal like that? In the sukkah, no question about it, right? Unless you're like in planet Mars or in the middle of Tehran, and it's like a life and death thing, and you can't get a sukkah to cost you your life. So then you wouldn't eat such a meal in a sukkah. But if you're anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, such a meal, for sure you'd eat there in a sukkah, right? The same thing with a 3-minute nap. There's no difference. That's love. You have to have a sukkah. An exception would be if you're on a bus ride. So that's the concept of holchei drachim. Holchei drachim are part of the sukkah. What are you getting? You're going to jump out the bus. There's no sukkah. So you don't have to poke yourself in the arm to stay awake until the bus ride is over and then find a sukkah. You can fall asleep on the sukkah. You're part of the same thing is if for some reason you're in a place, not that you would ever go to such a place, but you went to a place thinking there's going to be a sukkah. You went to Netanya, the motel promised there's going to be a sukkah. I would only go to Netanya for 3 days if they had a sukkah. You get there, it's not a kosher sukkah, there's no sukkah, and you're stuck. Your mamash had no sukkah, so then you can't sleep in a sukkah. But if there is a sukkah, you should sleep in it. And you can ask people, by the way, even if you go stay at a wonderful, beautiful apartment downtown Lachaib or something like that, you can ask the people, even if they are not sleeping in the sukkah, would you mind if I slept in the sukkah? Most people, I don't think, are going to, no, you can't do it. They're not going to care. So you should sleep in the sukkah. You're going to be in a hotel on Yom Tov? Great.
leave the American mattress upstairs in the hotel room that cost $350 a night, and sleep in the sukkah. If you really can't make arrangements, or the people are going crazy, or it's really difficult, and you can't do it, you're onus. Onus Rahmana Patra, you're potter. But basically, the mindset is that half of every day, I'm going to be in a sukkah. In a sukkah, yeah, the onus. What's that? Yeah, okay, dropping, yeah, same thing. Listen, if it's a 1 hour bus ride and you can save your sandwich or shawarma or whatever, but if you're hungry and you're on the bus ride and you have breakfast and you want to eat them, so for that duration, you're putter. So you can eat them, yeah, for sure. So that's with regard to sleeping. The two heterim, by the way, I didn't mention this other class, you guys don't want to share, so I can tell you. The two heterim that the Ramah brings not to sleep in a sukkah are the chill factor, cold, seina. So that doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael unless you're like on the slopes of the Hermon. Anyone going to the slopes of the Hermon for Sukkot? No. And a wife. Anyone have a wife? No. So, and the wife won the Gra, most of them go crazy on the Ramah. So it's a very dubious heter. Anyways, so the bottom line is, if you're a single guy in the beautiful nighttime air of Eretz Yisrael, I can't think of a heter not to sleep in a sukkah. And it's great. It's geschmack. It's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing. Okay. Until you have kids. And then your kid, God bless him, they sleep in a sukkah. They wake you up at 5:30. They wake up the neighbors. The neighbors yell at you. Yeah, if you're going to sleep in a sukkah, don't do it anywhere on my block, because my kids will wake you up at 5:30. Okay. Let's get to the big thing, eating in the sukkah. That's the big one. Eating in the sukkah is like this. Wow, I left out a lot of stuff in the previous class. Eating the sukkah. Wow, how'd that happen? All right, so we all know the first night is a very serious thing. Chamishasar, just like you have to eat a kazayit of matzah on Seder night on the first month of the year, so do you have to eat a kazayit of bread in the sukkah on the seventh month, which is in Tishrei, so you have to eat the first night, even if it's raining. This is not so lucky, because I've been here almost 20 years. Baruch Hashem, I'm going to celebrate my 20th anniversary in another few months. And I don't remember a time that it rained the first night. No, it did once, but it was like a drizzle last 3 minutes. Is that called rain? So this is not such a practical halacha, but the bottom line is, if it rains on the first night of sukkah, or if you hold two nights, the first two nights of sukkah, you still need to get the sukkah. You wait. If you assume that within an hour or two the rain will stop, then you sit and you wait for the rain to stop. If it does not look like it'll stop, or if you wait an hour or two and it did not stop, so then you have to go in and you have to say kiddush. You have to eat a kazayis, and then you can go back inside and you eat the rest inside. The rest of the nights of sukkahs, it works like this. It works like this. Where's my... can I have that piece of paper that I'm using as an eraser? So the rest of the nights of sukkahs, days, nights, the whole rest of sukkahs, so it works like this. When it comes to food and the obligation to sit in the sukkah and make a bracha, is basically three categories. Obviously, if you can take your glass of water and eat in the sukkah, we see from Rabban Gamliel that's ideal, right? But if you want to know the minimum of what's required, there's three categories. There's that type of food which always must be eaten in the sukkah. There's a type of food which never needs to be eaten in the sukkah. Once again, if you do, it's a mitzvah. But we're talking about what's required. And what's probably in the middle? That which is sometimes, depending on what we will describe in a second, required in the sukkah. What are foods that are always have to be in the sukkah? So that's basically bread. And we are, the accepted minhag is gravy and mizonos, cakes, cookies, etc.
Chocolate, go ahead.
Well, who said that? Chocolate, thank you very much. Chocolate, you did not need to. These are things that you always need in the sukkah, because I'm assuming nobody eats cookies that are less than a beitza. If you eat bread, or cake, or cookies, etc., etc., more than a beitza, which it's hard not to, then you need a sukkah. How much is a beitza of bread? So probably about one slice of this. They give you sliced bread upstairs. That's about a beitza of dough. It's not a lot. Piece of pizza is probably almost two beitza of dough. Once you push it out and bake it, 1.5, 2 approximately. So if you have a slice of pizza, or you have 3 burekas, 3 normal slices, not the big burek, that's probably 1.5 of those. If you have like 3 burekas, though, if you have like a stack of cookies, whatever to you looks like the displacement of more than a beitza, it's not much. You need to be in a sukkah. You need a sukkah, and you stay on that abrocha. You stay on that abrocha. Okay. What foods never? So one, who said chocolate before?
I meant
shahakal. Okay, basically shahakals. Very good, very good. Shahakals, fruits. These are things that no matter how much you eat or why you're eating it, you do not need a sukkah. And what's the basic principle? If you're eating keva, then you need a sukkah, right? Keva just means a meal. If you're eating a rye snack, you don't. So these things are always beautiful to look as a snack about how much you eat. Most drinks never need a sukkah. It's a great thing to take it in there. We'll get to the exception in a second. Veggies, vegetables, do not need a sukkah. We'll get to exception in a second. And the same thing really applies to cheese, meat, not together, and I don't know, what else? Fish. You get the idea? Great. But once again, the exceptions. What are the exceptions? The exceptions involve drinks. Can you guys see? I keep standing in front of the closet. Anything, and it's really only one or two members of this class, which is a social drink, where in theory you can take a bottle of it, sit with friends for an hour or two. If you do that, that's considered a meal, that's considered kavut, and you should do that in a sukkah. You should do that in a sukkah. So if you're a wine connoisseur, and forget about wine, cheese, and crackers, because the crackers already get you in under the first category, right? If you're just drinking a bottle of wine with friends, and it's a social event, not a 3-minute thing. It's going to go on for a while. That requires a sukkah. Many folks can say that another example today. What's the biggest social drink today? More than beer in Czechoslovakia, which is the highest beer drinking, even bigger than Canada. They drink more beer in Czechoslovakia than even Canada. No, not hard drinks. Yeah, coffee. We are in a place where there are entire restaurants dedicated to coffee. They're called coffee shops. Where the main thing on the recipe, on the menu, is coffee. Many folks can say, not everybody agrees with this, but many folks can say that if you're going to sit with a cup of coffee with a friend, and you guys are going to hang out for an hour drinking coffee together, then yeah, that would be, you need to, you're having your koveh on that, you need a sukkah. You need a sukkah. What about veggies? So if veggies, really we'll do this like this, if veggies, meats, cheese, etc., becomes for you keva, becomes a suda. You have a salad, you have a nice steak, you got a baked potato. Sounds good, right? But you didn't wash. So in these instances, you really do need a sukkah. You have to sit in a sukkah. The irony is, and don't ask me why, because it's interesting how the halakha developed. The Ritva, most Rishonim, and this is what we practice, even though the Gra disagrees, is that you never say bracha unless you have one of these two things. So even though you could pig out and have a 7-course meal at a Chinese restaurant where they don't even have bread on the menu because they haven't seen bread in 1,000 years, they don't even know what bread is, you would not say bracha. You would not say leishim b'sukha. You had salad, you had dessert, you had potatoes, you had chicken, you had steak, da 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 da. You need a sukkah. You obligate a sukkah, you don't say leishim b'sukha. So, the best thing to do in that case, once again, don't ask me why. The best thing to do in such a case is to try and introduce bread to the menu, or at least some kind of mezonos. Have a bite of, that's where you get to have dessert first, I think, right? And then you can say leishim b'sukha. And that's basically how it works with food. Let me just add that what I said over here about only saying a bracha on these two things, bread and mezonos, so that's true for all these things up here. Oh, remember there's a list up here? Eating, drinking, sleeping, schmoozing, reading, all that stuff. Chilling. So we don't say bracha on those things. The Gra says you do, you probably should, we don't. Accepted halakha is if you're going to be in the sukkah for 4 hours schmoozing with a friend, watching a kosher movie, whatever it might be, so you don't say leishei b'sukkah. Even if you sleep all night, you sleep for 10 hours, because your rabbi told you got to sleep in the sukkah, you go to sleep, and you sleep 10 hours in the sukkah, tremendous mitzvah d'oraita, we don't say a bracha. It's like, can someone give me a suggestion on how to get around this little bit of a irony that you're mekayem the mitzvah d'oraita, but you didn't say a bracha? We really do want to say a bracha.
Eat something.
Yeah, eat something. So Jews like to eat. It's just an excuse to eat. No. So before you go to sleep, take a couple cookies and a glass of milk. Calm down. You ask your mother to prepare for your mommy. And say a bracha, say a lei shev sukkah on the cookies. And then go to sleep. And have in mind, lei shev should cover everything. And once, I would, by the way, last thing in this whole dismissal, don't get so caught up in the beitza amount. If you should shoot for beitza. If you're ever not sure, yeah, did I have a gezias or a beitza? Definitely a gezias. Was it enough to be a beitza? Don't worry about it. It's probably enough, number one. Number two, if you're going to sit in the sukkah and hang out, schmooze or whatever, see if you're feeling it. So anyways, you can rely upon the grub, and you can say a bro. Gentlemen, have a great day. A great sukkah. And I'll see you all in the sukkah, Taliv Yatan, when Mashiach comes next week. This week.